Mike Broomhead, before I turn it over, I just want to give a shout out to the poll workers where I voted yesterday with a printed out digital voter ID because I just moved 2 weeks ago. They were so friendly and made it so easy,
yeah.
And it was an awesome experience, and it even was a little bit crowded at about 1:30 in the afternoon.
I went in, people were voting, it moved smoothly. I walked in right at lunchtime, there were a bunch of people there, but everybody got in. I was in and out very quickly.
Yep.
Like you said, the poll workers were very helpful. It went very smoothly. So obviously, we both don't live in Pinal County.
I know, right?
Thanks, Jamie. And good morning, everyone. Of course, elections and what happened last night. We were here. I was here until a little bit after 9, but others were here until almost midnight as we were giving coverage throughout the primary. We will continue as we know we cannot call some of these races that are still very close and too close to call. Right now, as it stands, Carrie Lake has a small lead, less than 2%. Over Karen Taylor Robeson in the governor's race, but there are some races that have been called. We're going to talk about what all of this is and what all of it means. Joining us just after 9 o'clock is going to be Chuck Coughlin. He's from High Ground. He is, I've said before, he is one of the guys in Arizona politics that knows where all the bodies are buried. He knows not only what's happening now, but why it's happening, because he's been here for so long and really an election and political professional. So we're going to talk with him about what all of this means and what's happening, what some of the expectations were, and what we should expect moving forward, because now, as we look forward toward a general election, how do these candidates speak to everybody in Arizona? All of you independent voters that I said would be important in the primaries, you are going to be even more important to the candidates that are casting their ballot. Now, as far as those statewide races go, the advantage goes to the Republicans in this sense, that they have a higher voter registration and have increased their lead over Democrats. But independents are a strong, strong demographic, and which way will they fall? And I will go back to a couple of things that were in our past to explain where I think maybe our future is going. When you have someone that is either an incumbent that is running unchallenged, or you have people in an open seat or what will be an open seat, and they aren't really challenged in a primary, you end up having an advantage. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Let's go back to when Governor Ducey ran for re-election. That was the same election year that Kyrsten Sinema, Senator Sinema, became Senator Sinema. And here's the difference. David Garcia, who you probably don't remember that name, but David Garcia was the candidate for the Democrats for governor. He had a pretty contentious primary against someone. So what they had to do was duke it out and fight in a Democratic primary. And you know, just like in the Republican primary, Republicans go way to the right, because in primaries, those diehards, and it's not a bad thing, it's just an identifier. People pretty far to the right vote in the primaries, so you have to satisfy your base. Same thing with the Democrats. Well, he said some things that did not sit very well with people in the middle, and that's just my take on it. Governor Ducey, being the incumbent, had the advantage, but he, of course, was running unopposed. In the very same election cycle, Senator Sinema, at the time Kyrsten Sinema, was running and saying, I'm independent just like Arizona, which she's turned out to be a lot more of that than any of us, I think, thought that she would be. But she was able to build a statewide name and a statewide platform for months that spoke to all Arizona voters, as opposed to what ended up being Martha McSally in that primary. Martha McSally came out of the primary, but it was a very contentious primary that she had against Joe Arpaio and against Kelly Ward. And so they duked it out, and they had to speak to the base, and they had to speak to a much smaller group of people. At the time, Kyrsten Sinema was able to lay the groundwork for her reputation and how she was going to run her campaign unopposed. So then when you got to the general election, the very same election cycle where Governor Ducey coasted to a very easy double-digit victory, Kyrsten Sinema coasted to a pretty easy victory on the same ticket. And it was, so that explains, you know, like the Republicans don't just win everything or lose everything, Democrats same way. There's a lot that goes into this. So when you see like a Mark Kelly Senator Kelly, who is unopposed, who has been laying the groundwork. If you watch Senator Kelly's television commercials, Mark Kelly's television commercials are a lot like Senator Sinema's were. He talks about being independent. He talks middle of the road things. He talks just to families. One of his TV commercials that I've seen, he says, you know, working families got to put gas in their car and food on the table and they're struggling and we're trying to get rid of the gasoline tax and all this other stuff, where you would think, man, he's probably speaking to independent / right-leaning independent voters. He knows he's got his base, and he's able to speak way ahead of the game to the independent voters. Blake Masters, on the other hand, Blake Masters has been speaking because it was a very big, big field and a contentious primary where they had to go after the base, and now they've got to try to shift. And I'm not accusing anyone of shifting ideology, shifting focus. Now Blake Masters has got to go out and speak to those independent voters and say, this is why I'm the person you should vote for. And it's going to be something that is a little bit more difficult to do because you've been in this contentious primary and they're going to use your words against you. They're going to use your Republican opponent's words against you. All is fair in love and war, and politics is an ugly game. And so what I think will happen is you're going to see this. And I'm certainly not saying that Blake Masters can't or won't win. I'm just laying the groundwork for how difficult it's going to be. In other races, when it comes to the Secretary of State's race, that's the race for me. That is going to be one that people are going to watch because I believe it's going to be a dogfight. I think this one is going to be a cage match. You could not have more polar opposite candidates coming from two completely different perspectives. You have Mark Finchem, who has talked about the stolen election for a very long time, and you have the guy that he was accusing of help stealing the election in Adrian Fontes. And that's going to be, I think, a cage match of a battle. In the end, I would say this. To me, I'm observing this, and I'm kind of being cavalier in the way I'm talking about it. These are very, very, very serious elections because the direction of the state of Arizona could dramatically shift. And I'm going to do my best to bring as many of the candidates on as we can to talk about these things, because we want informed voters. Again, KTAR.com/Arizona Votes is where you can go and hear candidate interviews. And we're going to be building a whole new library for you to go to as we move towards this general election. But these important statewide races, the attorney general's race and what's going to happen there, the question, we now know that the Trump endorsement carries huge weight. No doubt about it. Huge weight in these elections. But what will they do in a general election? How helpful is a Trump endorsement in Arizona in a statewide race in a general election and not just a primary? That's what we're going to find out. Looking at the numbers, and I was looking again half the night, I was up looking at numbers. And when you look at the landscape of what's happened, there weren't a lot of big surprises. I think the fact that Karen Taylor Robeson held on to about a 9-point lead through most of the evening. When I went to sleep last night, she was holding about an 8-point lead. I woke up this morning and she's down almost 2 points. And what are the rest of the votes going to say? Because the ballots that are left to be counted, I believe, are the ballots that are early ballots that were dropped off at polling places. So if you went to the polls yesterday with your early ballot and put it in and dropped it into a ballot box, your vote is now going to be verified, your signature verified and counted. They're saying Stephen Richer, our county recorder here in Maricopa County, Stephen Richer is going to said he's going to certify those votes and was telling us that that's the time frame to get that stuff done. Let's talk very quickly about Pinal County. I'm not someone that likes to dance on the graves of people. Years ago, going back in Arizona, if you're new, you may not remember this, but we had a very contentious primary. And at the time, the Maricopa County Recorder, this is when Adrian Fontes won the next time around, because the county recorder in Maricopa County had been doing the job and a stellar job for decades. I think it was 30 years she held that position, or well over 20. and her name was Helen Purcell. And there was a disaster of a primary in Phoenix. I waited in line for 3 hours to vote because I go to the polls. And then there was a disastrous interview where she admitted later on, you know, she just misspoke and said some things she shouldn't have. And the people of Maricopa County were furious. And this is a woman that had held that job and done a stellar job for decades. And in one election, people were so angry, they voted in someone else. What happened in Pinal County yesterday, I'm sorry, I would love to hear more of whose fault it is, I guess, but it's inexcusable. When you have issues on the front side of a primary, when you have ballots that go out to people and they're wrong, when you have some people on a ballot for some area that shouldn't be there and you're missing candidates on a ballot for another part of town, when you're doing that, when that happens, that's your wake-up call. You are not dotting your I's, you are not crossing your T's, and you already have all eyes on you. People are watching you. And then they ran out of ballots. One polling place ran out of ballots an hour into the election. They said it was an unprecedented turnout. Well, your job is to predict the turnout. Every other county, all 14 other counties in Arizona, got that prediction right, and you didn't. That is a big issue. And I will tell you, if you are looking at a 1% difference in this governor's race, there's going to be lawyers fine-tooth combing all of that. And one of the reasons that are just a quick explanation, what they do in Arizona with the polling places they have, or I'm sorry, in Maricopa County, is you can go to any one of the voting centers. You check in. That's what I did. Check in. They scan your voter ID. They verify that it's you. And your specific ballot for where you live is printed out. You don't have to go to precinct voting. They still do precinct voting in Pinal County. And so they have to print specific ballots for every polling place. And they ran out. It's just it's something that I'm telling you, someone is going to pay a very heavy price politically for that. Coming up in a moment, we're going to shift to the economy, and we're going to talk about how the economy is for certain demographics and how concerned we all should be. All that's coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. School's back in session. If you know a remarkable Valley teacher deserving of $2,500, then just text the word teacher to 411923, and you can nominate a teacher as part of a pay tribute to a teacher. That's teacher to 411923. Pay tribute to a teacher is presented by your Valley Toyota dealers. The economy is going to be the number one issue in our statewide elections. I believe that wholeheartedly. That is the number one issue for Republicans, Democrats, and independents, what direction we are taking. And I love the compare and contrast when you look at what works and what doesn't. And Arizona and many other red states, by the way, one of the big headlines today is that red states are booming and blue states are struggling to recover from COVID. And I will tell you, it is about policy, in my opinion. I understand people wanting to take care of each other. I'm part of that crowd. I just believe through experience and everything else, I think we take care of each other better when the private sector does it or it's done locally. The federal government has no business in it. The bigger it gets, the more bloated it gets, the more waste that there is, the more redundancy there is, and that's in anything else. Government is necessary, but it also by nature is wasteful. If you look at just from this aspect, before I get into the specifics, I've asked this question before. I've mentioned many nonprofit organizations that I admire here in the Valley. There are veteran organizations that I think are fantastic, that are done because of private individuals that deal with donated money and their heart is to make sure things are taken care of. That doesn't mean that government-run agencies that are supposed to help veterans have people in them that don't care. Two different machines. Military Assistance Mission is one of the military charities I work with and I've worked with in the past. They are a phenomenal organization. They were started by a Gold Star mom. Her name is Margie Bonds, and this organization just helps military families. That's all they want to do. And everybody that works for them, that's all they want to do. They take donations, and they realize that those donations could be shut off if they're wasteful with other people's money. So so they're not. The same thing goes with St. Vincent de Paul, St. Mary's Food Bank, United Food Bank, Circle the City that works for the medical needs. This is not a knock against the government. It's to hold these organizations up as an example and say they are much better equipped to address our problems locally than these big bloated government programs. But it doesn't have to be nonprofits. It's just things in general. Here is a statement about the inflation. According to Moody's Analytics chief economist, they noted that this new bill, this Build Back Better, the watered down version of this Build Back Better, will only marginally reduce the consumer price index for all the money that's in it and all the regulation that's added into it, marginally. And they say that this slim savings won't be seen until the later half of the decade. So we're talking 5 years down the road before you see any relief. And yet they're still pushing forward. I still believe it has to do with the climate change part of it. But what does this mean to the average person? How about this? U.S. household debt surpasses $16 trillion on higher mortgages. Nearly three quarters of millennials are more than $100,000 in debt and not from mortgages. Only 10% of them say that they have never been in debt. So when you look at this, you think, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Most notably, most of the debt is not mortgage. But while millennials have large amounts of debt, many are optimistic they can pay it off over the next 5 years. So that's good news. But the debt isn't. More and more people are having to go into debt because they are not able to pay their bills with the paychecks they have. They're either getting a side hustle or they're putting things on credit cards. That's dangerous. So what works and what doesn't? And when we look at what's working and what isn't, when you have a smaller government by nature, lower taxes for the business community, you have higher rates of success in your state. Businesses do better. They pay their employees more. As we've seen, when you create jobs and there is a natural need for employees, you have a much better situation. And what I mean by that is that you can falsely raise the minimum wage all you want, and you are still going to have those people on the bottom rung of the ladder because the cost of living goes up that they're barely making it. What you do is you squeeze the middle. You just squeeze the middle. Wealthy people can always pay higher prices. They complain about it, but they can pay them. Lower income people get subsidies. Their lifestyle doesn't change much, but they get food assistance. They get insurance, you know, with all these other programs that are out there. You've got SNAP and WIC for food. And middle class families that don't make a little enough to qualify for subsidies don't get subsidies. But they also aren't wealthy enough that it doesn't hurt them dramatically when they get squeezed with higher prices. So if what Arizona and Texas and Florida and Nevada, if what these states are doing by shrinking the size of their government and the tax burden on their business community, if that is helping those states' economies boom, why wouldn't other states look at that and say maybe they're onto something? And they just aren't going to. And so that's when I talk about elections. This is why I vote the way I do. This is why I believe the way I believe, because I want what's best just like everyone else does. And I'm looking at what's working. And other people will say, well, you're leaving people behind. That's not necessarily the case. People are always left behind. There are winners and losers. And unless you're willing to deal with that, then you're right. Then you want guaranteed outcomes. You don't want people to succeed. You want everybody to fail together or at least be way behind the curve together. Gatos is going to join me in a moment. We've got the big Q poll question of the day coming up right around the corner, so stick around for it.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
What a night.
Wow.
What a night.
I went home and watched coverage. Local coverage, and yeah. I couldn't fall asleep. I ended up laying in bed with my eyes open until after 11.
I know. I couldn't fall asleep either. I had the Secretary of State, the website, and I kept refreshing it.
Yeah.
Lake's chipping away.
Yeah,
kept refreshing it. Lake's chipping away.
Yeah, and then I woke up this morning and saw the shift that had happened. I was watching John Hook. So I was watching him and their coverage. So
boy, I wonder what he thinks today.
Yeah, I don't know. I may reach out and ask him.
Yeah, I may too. I may too. It's interesting. But I got to tell you that Carrie Lake, she is such a smart person. We're lucky to have her. Mm-hmm.
First time I've heard you say that.
Well, I mean, she saw this a couple weeks ago. Just saying.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, you know,
fraud. She saw it, obviously, right?
That's. I think that's
just saying.
Do you think if it's close? Do you think if we stay within the margin of, let's say, 1%?
Yes.
Do you think? And let's say Kari Lake holds the lead.
Okay.
At that 1%, do you think Robeson's camp goes into Pinal County digging deep with lawyers, or do you think if it's the numbers are counted, it's within 1%, she concedes?
I think she concedes.
Okay.
What do you think?
I do too.
Yeah. I think she concedes. But if Lake ends up losing this lead, I don't know. I've got to dig into it a little more. I don't know the path to victory for.
Right.
Karen Taylor Robeson. Do you know how many votes are still out there?
I don't. And I'm going to talk with Chuck Coughlin in a few minutes about it.
Yeah, I mean, is there a path? Yeah, maybe. But there was a shift late last night.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, we're lucky to have Kari Lake to point out that maybe these numbers aren't exactly correct right now.
All right, I got less than a minute before you start trouble. What do you got?
It's a close gubernatorial race, Mike. I think, A, if Lake wins, she'll say no fraud. B, if Lake loses, she'll claim fraud. C, if either happens, Lake wins no matter what.
Good question.
It is a good question.
It's a very good question.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey. We are lucky to have somebody like that point out a little bit of fraud.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Recap.
Thanks, Gatos.
Okay.
The Big Q poll question of the day brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Coming up very soon, we're going to talk with Chuck Coughlin from High Ground, and we're going to talk about the politics of this, what this all means, and what these head-to-head races are going to look like. All of that is going to be coming up here in a few minutes with someone who really knows what he's talking about.